Well, it is good, as I said, for us to be together, and we've come to the end of our 40 days to follow along as we walk towards Easter. But this 40 days of Lent has been a great time for me. I hope it's been a good one for you as well. 40 days with these three temptations, these three powerful answers in response by Jesus. And the devil walks away from this battle. This game the accuser it plays in the wilderness is over, but the season of maybe tempting and test continues for Jesus. And also for us today, that I've shared this, there's a scholar that looks at this temptation in the gospel, especially the gospel of Matthew, and says, after this desert experience with Jesus, he encounters evil over and over and over again, but they all wear the face of defeat. That there is a victory that is claimed in the wilderness, but we still have to experience some of the brokenness in this world, and Jesus does as well. And so the battles that we face are ones like the ones Jesus faced, the ones that really chip away at our identity, who we are, our value. Are we a person of worth? Do we believe that God loves us, that God wants us? And our purpose. What are we called to do? What are we called to be? What has God created us for? And these questions, they kind of come at us as these if statements, the same way Jesus receives them. And they can chip away at these pieces of us, these core values, these core beliefs, if we're not confident in who we are. And some of these can be relentless and feel like there's no end in sight. And I'm sure for Jesus, 40 days, no meals, he went into the wilderness fasting, was tempted in powerful ways, and probably had this moment in his experience that felt like it wouldn't end, that there was no end in sight, that he had to really dig deep and persevere. And so we look at this encounter, and we should remember in our world today that every battle has an end. Amen? That everything we face, every experience, every season will come to an end. And there's a relief in that. There's a gratefulness that we can be thankful for that. Even if we're in the midst of something, we know through this this picture of Jesus that even the most difficult things will pass, that there's an end in sight. And so we need to take on each battle one at a time. I know for me, sometimes I end up in a place where I'm struggling, and it's made worse by me thinking of the other things that might happen after this, the other struggles, the other battles that may come, and I miss the fact that I need to be present right where I am, that I need to be anchored in who I am and face this thing one at a time, whatever that may be, that we need to walk in the fullness of who we are, who God called us to be. And when we see that, if we take a step back, when we see that, not only in our lives, but the lives of other people, we see the results in hearts changed. God is a God of transformation, changes our hearts. We see it in homes, that maybe your home has changed after a difficult season and you've remained faithful, that even maybe your church changes, that as people share the goodness of God, that I was going through a struggle, And I remained faithful, and I trusted God, and God did powerful things. And when we share that in community, our church becomes stronger. Our cities, maybe you've seen cities changed by what God has done through struggle. And we're entering this week that really allows us to meet the world with resilience. We're entering this week that really gives us power, that gives us this sense of the greater good, the goodness of God, and we know what it means to face struggles. We know that in our world, but we can come out on this side more hopeful. We can come out on the other side trusting God and doing the things that God is calling us to do, that we're committed to living differently in this world. And this is a phrase that we've been using over and over again, and I love it. That this experience of Jesus in the wilderness is meant to tell us that we are called to be people that happen to the world rather than the world happening to us. That there's victory in the wilderness that allows us to lean into this. That we're not passive. We don't live in a world that's abandoned by God where we're on our own. We live in a world where we have power and authority. We have the ability to initiate change we have the ability to join God's movement and happen to the world, bring hope in hopeless places. We're not at the whim of whatever the world is doing. And so today, we look at this final verse in our story, in the Gospel of Luke, and it's out of the NIV here. It's Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that we have journeyed with you on these 40 days. We're thankful that we've leaned into this practice of listening to you, of trusting, of finding hope in this powerful story. God, we are thankful that you did not give in, that you did not fall for these temptations, and that you gave us a great witness of how to live our lives as you left this place and cared for others. We ask that you help us to step out boldly, that in the struggles of our life, that you would give us strength and peace, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so Jesus leaves this time of isolation and temptation, and he starts what we know as his ministry. If you remember the picture we kind of used, that this is a triptych, that the central work is Jesus in the wilderness. And then there's a work on the left and to the right. We have what happened before, Jesus' baptism, this affirmation of God, who he is, that he is valued before he does anything, that he is claimed, that he is loved, that he is valuable. And he goes into the wilderness and he takes on this temptation, knowing that he'll need to accomplish this in order to do the rest of his ministry. And so he leaves this place, this isolation, and he begins to encounter people. And in every encounter from the wilderness to the cross is a model of for us that temptation tried to stop. That that Jesus was given the opportunity in these temptations to shortcut some of this work. That he could persuade people, that he could be given power and authority without having to go through this, but it would rob all of us of the picture of what it means to live a life as God calls us to live. And so every encounter that we see in this ministry is one that informs our life, how we should care for others. And Jesus comes out of the wilderness victorious, but his work is not done. He begins a pretty aggressive work, moving through the countryside, teaching, calling people to him, correcting maybe this wrong assumptions that religion had put in place. And we see that Jesus encounters the sheer volume of need, that we have account after account of Jesus literally being chased through this countryside, that crowds are running to try and get in front of him, that they want something from him. As soon as the word gets out, there's a man that offers healing, miracles, people want to be there. And many went away from their encounter with Jesus in the Gospels. We see it time and time again, disappointed and discouraged because they were expecting him to be something else. They expected the Jesus vending machine, right? They would come and say the right things. They would push the right buttons. They would jump through the right hoops, and Jesus would give them all the things that they wanted. We see many that are healed. We see many miracles, but we see just as many people that go away disappointed because they expected Jesus to be one thing, and when they found out kind of who he really was and what his mission was, and that he wasn't going to be pulled off track, they walked away disappointed. And this is really the encounter that we see the story of Palm Sunday, that that Jesus enters Jerusalem. This is the central place of power for all of religion. He enters this place, and people literally, they wave palm branches. They lay their coats down that he can walk on them. They're praising him as this king that's coming because they expect him to rule like a military power. That all the people that have given them a hard time are going to get what's coming to them through the person of Jesus. That Jesus is going to come, he's going to right the wrongs, he's going to roll up his sleeves and fix their problems in the here and now. We see by the end of the week, they're disappointed, they're disillusioned by Jesus that isn't come to rule with violence. That instead of attacking the oppressors, the ones that have held the Jewish people under their thumb for so long, that instead he comes not to bring violence, but to suffer under the same oppression and to give up his life. It doesn't make sense, and yet Jesus steps into this willingly. And most of us have what we're called, most of us know what we're called to be, called to do as followers of Jesus. We see this picture, right? We can read the scriptures and say, okay, Jesus is asking me to do these things. But we have to remember that it's completely opposite of what the world asks us to do. That many of the times, my initial response, and maybe you're the same, the first thing I want to do and say is usually not the right thing. Especially the things that I say, right? I have to filter myself sometimes. Things that I would say to people years ago, I have to go, I can't be that way anymore. I have to show love and compassion. I have to speak truth. I can't be passive in the things that are important. But the way in which I engage people has to change. And Christ lives this life that is anti-world. That it's this upside-down kingdom. Again, we looked at this this crazy picture of our calendar, our awakening, and what we would think would be the high power to be born, the places where Jesus goes low. That instead of Jesus being born into a position of power to be born to kings and queens, he's born in a damp, dirty, disgusting place from a town that has no great things said about it. And yet that's where the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes from. That in order for Jesus to have victory over death, he has to suffer great humiliation and shame, this low point. And so Jesus invites us into this same kind of living, this upside-down kingdom. And we see that when Jesus is expected to do something, we see what actually happens, and we have to understand what's distinctly different about the two things. And this time in the wilderness gives us some really interesting things for us to think about as we go into this next season and as we experience maybe the wilderness in our lives. And the first thing is this, that when we come through the wild, the wilderness, we rest. And I don't know about you, but the society I live in, the world that speaks to me, tells me that rest is for the weak. Maybe you've heard this. That you're not tough enough, that you don't have enough grind. I've shared this with Jay. I had an experience in ministry where I was meeting with somebody who I thought was really important, and they are really important, did lots of great things in ministry, and they had kind of heard about what I was doing, and they wanted to have a meeting. And so this was sort of like a mythological creature a little bit, this person. I heard about him. So we go to have coffee, and he goes, "How is it you're able to do all these things?" And I looked at him straight face, and I said, "I've just hustled, and I've grind through things. I've just put in the work. I've done, I've just really tried hard. I'm crushing things or whatever." And he kind of looked at me. He accepted my answer, and that was the last conversation we had, because I had embarrassed myself instead of saying God has done amazing things through these ministries. I said, "No, I've done it. I've bought into the world, that I've hustled, that I've put in the work, that I've sacrificed family or sleep, that I've sacrificed these things." And for him, he was living in an upside-down kingdom, and he saw the world was speaking into my life. Rest is for the weak. That is what the world tells us. And so the power of overcoming temptation that haunts us, these things that keep us up at night, is our rest. And Jesus shows this over and over again, that our heart, our mind, our body needs to rest, that we need to have rhythms like worship, gathering together like this. And if we don't have those things, then we're of Sabbath, where we step away, we disconnect. And if we don't have those things, then we're constantly going to be looking in a different place. We're constantly going to be oriented in the wrong direction. And rest is one of those things that reorients us to another way of living. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There are seasons in my life where I could describe myself as weary and burdened, and the last thing I look for is rest. It was a quick fix. It was a shortcut, which is what the accuser offers each one of us. And so I went through this season when rest was something I was told I didn't need. Maybe you've had that experience where you were told it wasn't a good time for you to take a rest. Maybe you've worked for somebody like that, right? Or that you have a whole bunch going on in your life, and you needed to take care of someone who is sick, and you were kind of felt guilty about it, a child or a family member, and somebody really made you feel like, man, you're doing harm to me by caring for other people, right? And in some places of work, some industry, the goal is really to get everything from you, even to your detriment. Maybe you've had that experience. I know some of my early jobs, I was just excited to have a job, right? You want me to do the task that no one wants to do? Great, I'm excited to have a job. But over time, you kind of realize there are people that they just want to use you for everything there is. And Jesus invites us again to this anti-worldly idea, this upside-down kingdom. Not to avoid work or putting forward our best effort. I think God creates us with gifts and abilities, with strengths. He wants us to do our best. He wants us to succeed and achieve things. He wants us to stretch our boundaries. But he wants us to be people grounded in who we are because we take rest seriously. That these things aren't the things that drive us. These things aren't the things that that really anchor our identity. But that we take rest very seriously. And so the practice of Sabbath, you know, a good night's sleep, staying in community, taking time off, reading encouraging books, all these things, being inspired, disconnecting. If it was not meant for us to do, then Jesus would not have modeled it for us. That when we go through the struggles, we don't just move on, we rest. We see Jesus time and time again resting. We see Jesus, again, facing all these unbelievable struggles, the great need of all the people, and yet he still was able to step away, to not lean in and think he can fix everybody's problems. He can do all the things that he took rest very seriously. And a few years ago, our family had been going through kind of a really difficult time, and we knew that change needed to happen. Maybe you have that experience where you're like, something has to change. And if something doesn't change, I'm going to force a change, even if it's a bad change. Maybe you've had that experience, right? I'm just going to make a decision, because the way we're living right now just isn't working. And we ended up kind of in the middle of a transition. We tend to do things all at once in our family. So we tend to take like a bunch of different transitions and store them up and then do them all at one time. Maybe you have that experience. And so we were in the middle of transitioning here, moving here, selling our home, moving away from hometown, grandparents, all those kind of things, changing schools. And by the grace of God, we had planned, Melissa and I, an anniversary trip. So we had a big anniversary during COVID that we had to cancel, and so travel was kind of available again. We planned this anniversary trip months in advance, if not a year in advance. And it ended up falling in the middle of kind of the craziness. And we had planned it. We had no idea all this. And we kept talking about canceling it. Oh, we just can't do it. We got to cancel it. We'll do it another time. You know, let's get through the transitions. You know those conversations where you're like trying to convince yourself that tomorrow is better, right? Don't worry about I'll take care of it later. And we just had too much going on. And in the middle of it, we said, no, we're going to do this. This is a trip for us. We're going to take a step away. And it was by far one of the most restful experiences I've ever had, which was crazy because it was in the most chaotic season we have been in as a family. We were able to step away. My phone didn't work. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We had beautiful weather. Kind of all these things fell into place. God was showing us his goodness, that we got upgraded cars, that we ended up in this great location, that the places that we wanted to go, we were so worried they were going to be swarmed with tourists. We ended up, at some days, we were the only people in these beautiful places, just soaking it in. And it gave us time to get perspective and realize that even though there were many things unknown, that that we were on the other side of something, that we had gone through something really difficult and been faithful. And we could have missed it if we hadn't taken rest seriously. And so as you go through these struggles, take a moment to rest. Take a moment to stop, to get some perspective and look around. I really think Jesus, as he came out of the wilderness, probably did a couple things. He probably took a nap, amen, because I love that my Jesus naps. It says it in Scripture. He took a nap, and then he probably ate. And you can imagine after 40 days of not eating, that food tasted really good. And so this other thing that Jesus shows us is that when we come through the wilderness, through this wild place, we feast. That we gather together and we celebrate these things. And I'm confident that Jesus came out of the wilderness again, took a nap, and then he feasted. This great celebration. We don't know who he gathered with. He may have just gathered by himself and celebrated. He may have gathered with family or friends, but I'm confident 40 days with no food, that food tasted good. And he wanted to pick out the good food. He wanted to pick out the thing that that made him feel great and wonderful. Maybe the thing that brought back memories from his childhood. And if we don't celebrate the small victories, we lose our ability to see them when they occur. If we don't celebrate the things around us, we tend to miss looking for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." We're called to be thankful in all things. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a household, a family, and even still today, it's this way, where my mom would celebrate anything, and she would celebrate anybody. We would go, my parents have a full social calendar, so they have a little golf cart, they live in a beachside community, they know everybody, and they know everybody's story, and they would go and hear someone passed a test, someone got a promotion, someone got a new job, and they were the first ones to go to Publix, because we're Floridians, that's where you go when you celebrate. They would go to Publix, and they would get a cake, and they would show up, and we would celebrate, whatever that was, and it was like, "Mom, you're making up excuses for us to throw a party." But people felt so loved. When we celebrate the things, even the small things, we begin to see around us all the things that God is doing, all the great celebrations. We're called to be thankful. Even when it's difficult and challenging, God calls us to be thankful. When things are all good and wonderful, he calls us to be thankful, to celebrate, to invite people in, to say, "Man, I am so excited that this happened in my life. I want to invite you in so you can celebrate with me because you're important. I heard this happening in your life, and I want to celebrate you. I want to take you to lunch. I want to buy you a coffee. I want to write you a note because it is good for us to be thankful." Even the little victories, because it opens our eyes to what God is doing. And next week is Easter for us. And there's no mistake that the early church, it was birthed, this act on the cross happens, the church begins, and they have this season that we step into. It's one of my favorite seasons called the Great 50 Days. It's the season from Easter to Pentecost where we literally celebrate, the early church celebrates, the idea that Jesus continued to show up and meet people to share the good news and prove that he was resurrected. That this great victory, it sort of has like a victory lap for 50 days. Amen? And they celebrate with feasts. They gather together. There's baptisms in the early church. Jesus appears many times. He says many things that are really important. And then he leaves just in time for the Holy Spirit to come on God's people. And so we don't just move on, even as a church. We don't just say, "Well, Easter was great. Let's go to the next week." We feast. We celebrate. We call friends together. We recount the victory of what happened. We share in a meal. God invites us in this season of feasting and thankfulness to do things like writing notes to people, to share, "Hey, you've been praying for me, and I just want to tell you that God is doing something. I don't know what it is, or maybe God's shown up in a big way, but I want you to know that God is good, and I appreciate your prayers." Maybe writing a note to somebody, "Hey, I'm praying for you. I hear this this constant theme in your life that this is a struggle, or maybe this is a sore spot, and I just want you to know I'm lifting you up, that I know God is going to do good things, that all around us God is moving." And when we stop celebrating the victories, we come out of the wilderness not as strong. But when we come out of the wilderness ready to celebrate, ready to lift up the banner saying, God was with me, that I was not alone, we become resilient, we become stronger. And this is what Jesus does. He celebrates, he gathers, he feasts with his friends. He invites strangers to come and share a meal so he can share the good news because he wants to give thanks in all circumstances. It's a powerful thing. And so Jesus rests, he feasts. But here's the thing that I am thankful for in this picture of Jesus, that when we come through the wild, we step forward. That Jesus doesn't come through this experience and stop going, man, that was really hard. I'm gonna take a breather. I'm going to maybe look at my options and decide if I want to keep moving forward. No, Jesus feasts. He celebrates what God has done, and then he steps forward. He begins to invite people to come and see the goodness of God. He's finished in the wilderness. He's faced the temptations that Israel could not face, and he comes out ready to do what he's meant to do. He's stronger for it, and he shows us that when we face our battles, we have an opportunity to come out stronger than when we went in. And I don't know about you, but resilience, I kind of think of this idea of being able to really face like an impact, something coming at you, and recovering quickly. That you're going to bounce back. Now, it may be tough and difficult, but in some way, shape, or form, you're going to step forward. And I think we can all look back on things that we've done, maybe things that used to create so much stress and worry in our lives, the things that kept us up at night. And we can recognize those things that we faced. And yet, when we face them, when we step forward, we now see them differently. Maybe things that used to keep you up at night don't even faze you today. Maybe you've had our side notes to your experience, right? That maybe we have a confidence now because we stepped through it. Maybe we gave others too much control over us because we lacked confidence. And now we've stepped through something really difficult and we've found our confidence that we don't need other people to affirm us, maybe. That we don't need these relationships that are unhealthy in order for us to feel like we're not alone. Maybe like Jesus, we wrestle with this idea of loneliness. I think that's a common thing in our world. And Jesus had to do the most difficult thing, the most difficult work, completely alone. His death on the cross was meant to completely separate him from God the Father. That for the first time he experienced this deep separation, something he had never experienced. He hadn't known, but he knew about. And it created a lot of worry in his life. We see Jesus' prayer life begin to pick up as he gets closer to the cross. He's asking God, God, is there another way? I don't know if I can do this. Is there another way? And finally he says, not my will, but yours, that I must step forward. And there's this great quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer that I like. I think there's a whole lot to it. He says this. He says, let him who cannot be alone be aware of community. And let him who is not in community beware of being alone. It's this picture that he gives that loneliness reveals where we're depending on distractions. That when we feel like we're totally alone, we're by ourselves, we can get pulled in all kinds of directions. Jesus faced the wilderness alone because he knew he had to stand firm. He had to avoid the distractions. He had to avoid the temptations, completely isolated. And, I had this kind of large friend group in middle school, and we were getting ready to transition to high school. So this was about eighth grade, transition to ninth grade, and we had this just before the school year was kind of wrapping up. One of our friends in the friend group, my best friend in the friend group, was killed in a pretty horrific accident. It was actually at a birthday party. We were celebrating one of our friends. And as a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, it was life-altering. I really didn't understand then the full gravity of it. I wasn't prepared for how much really loneliness it would create in my life, this ripple effect. And our friend group dispersed, as you can imagine, experiencing that together as a bunch of middle school kids was this wild experience. And every time we spent time with each other, it reminded us of what happened, and slowly we drifted apart. And loneliness is one of those things that creeps in. It's this universal human experience. And Bonhoeffer doesn't dismiss it, because I think we all feel it in some way, shape, or form. We could be in a crowd of people and feel totally alone. There's something about the human experience that makes that one of the things that we have to really wrestle with. And I grappled for years with this idea of loneliness, not wanting to be alone, you know, seeking other people, even if those people weren't really for me, but just the idea of being around somebody was really helpful. But I can say I'm really aware of it now. I'm aware of this this thing that I experienced, this struggle that I went through, that I grappled with for years. And I give it less and less power in my life, because I've experienced not only loneliness, I've had to wrestle with that. I've had to do the things that are difficult by myself, but I've also found great community that have helped me work through it. I found the church through that experience. I found people that cared for me, that would be with me, that would walk through things with me. But it's this human experience, and we see it in the life of Jesus, that in his darkest moments, it seems like he's totally abandoned. Even the ones that he surrounds himself with, they just can't seem to stay with him when he really needs them. But God's taught me, and I hope he's teaching you, if he hasn't already, the value of real community, of real relationships, of this gathering together, this rhythm of life, that we can step forward again and again and again. Because Jesus invites us into this upside-down world, where things do not make sense. One where the wilderness is not where we lose strength, a place where we lose ourselves, where we lose our value, but a place where God builds us up. That even in the darkest places, the loneliest places of our life, God is doing a good work. He's building us up. And our wilderness season may be marked with loneliness and struggle, these pieces that really are difficult for us to wrestle with each and every day. Maybe it's marked with silence. Maybe you've gone through these 40 days asking God to speak and you haven't heard anything. And you feel like, what's the point? Do you even hear me? But Jesus shows us in this encounter, he shows us with his life that if we trust in him and shape our life around what he has called us to be and do, we'll find the life he has for us. That we are not abandoned, that we are not lost, that we are not alone, but Jesus has felt all those things fully. On the cross, he experiences complete isolation, complete shame, complete loneliness, so that it would not have power over us. And it's because of this wilderness victory that we can walk through ours with confidence and hope. And this is the good news. This is the picture of what it's like for us to live a life in a broken world and be people that happen to it, that we bring hope and love and grace and mercy into those difficult places. Because Jesus did in 40 days what the people of God wandering through the desert for 40 years could not. This is the upside-down kingdom that God invites us into. There is a benefit to being tested, and God knows it, even if we don't. God knows what's going to happen. God knows the great things he has in store for each and every one of us. And he calls us to be faithful and trust. On the other side of the wilderness, the spiritual resilience that we have, that we can trust in, comes from being faithful. We are called to be people that happen to the world, rather than the world happening to us. This is the story of the wilderness. This is the story of Jesus' temptation, that because of this, we have the power and authority, we have the ability to go and make an impact in the world, in great ways and small ways. And God calls us to celebrate each and every one. And so today, as we prepare to enter Holy Week, we land on this question. And I want you to think about this week. I want you to think about this question, that in the struggles of this life, that we know even from the life of Jesus, that we will have things that go wrong, that our life is not perfect. In fact, our life is harder following Christ because we know how broken the world is. We're more aware of what's happening around us and that it is not as it should be. In the struggle of this life, when uncertainty and loneliness and temptations arise, will you trust in His plan for you, knowing there's strength on the other side? This is a question that that even if people don't go to church, if they don't believe in religion, that people have to wrestle with. There's brokenness in this world, and so what is it that gives us strength? We know through the person of Jesus, the good news that He shares with each and every one of us, that the only thing we can trust in is the goodness of God. The only thing we can anchor our life in that gives us hope beyond the world we see is God Himself. And so in the struggles, what are the ways in which you anchor yourself? And what are the ways that you can invite others to experience that goodness, to share maybe your story, to share encouragement, that you went through something really difficult and you've come out on the other side, and the thing that made the difference, the thing that helped, the thing that worked when nothing else did, was you trusted in a God who loved you deeply, who valued you, and called you by name. Let's pray.